In their struggles with diversity and assimilation, European nations have attempted to legislate the idea of what it means to be German or to be Polish, to be religiously observant, or, in this case, to be French. In the case of France, there's a law on the wearing of the traditional Muslim garment that covers the faces of women, the burqa. In the media, it's called the burqa ban, and that ban is a year old this week. The law prohibits Muslim women from wearing a face covering, and now some other countries, Australia and the Netherlands among them, are considering it. It's estimated, though, that the ban only applied to about 2,000 women in France who wear this most traditional type of Muslim veil. Takeaway producer Irba Gunja traveled to France to examine how this community has responded in the year since. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, John.
What was the aim of the ban originally? Can we recapture what that was?
So legislators who were supporting the ban, who helped to write the ban, what they were arguing was that people who wear the burqa or the niqab, which is the more common type of garment, but they were arguing that these women are oppressed, that they're being forced to wear it by their husbands, by their brothers, by their fathers, but by men in their families. And so what they thought they were doing, they thought that they were freeing these women from oppression. They were giving them an out. They measure the success of the law quantitatively. They say that there are fewer women on the street now who wear the burqa. I mean, in fact, in Paris, I saw no one on the street wearing the burqa. And so they say the law has been a major success.
So a clash of values between what French, native French people believe is an appropriate garb for women and within the community, a very, very different view. How did they find this ban over the last year?
There are lots of people in the Muslim community who are upset about the law, and they're not. It's interesting because it's not that a lot of people actually support the niqab or the burqa itself. It's more about what the law represents. And so people feel like another law that prohibits what Muslim people can and cannot do, what they can and cannot wear, is just another representation of Muslim rights being violated or being infringed upon.
It's like a church and state thing. The government has no business here.
It's exactly what it is. But the interesting thing, going back to your first question, is that there are a lot of people within the Muslim community who do support the ban. And there's actually one really prominent Muslim feminist organization in France who helped them to write this law. And they still, to this day, they support it. They're called Ni Pute Ni Soumise. That translates to neither whores nor submisses.
Mm-hmm.
They are for the ban. They are against the burqa, the niqab. And they, too, say it's been a real success over the last year.
So who have you spoken with?
What I really was trying to do in France was I was trying to find women who still wear the niqab today and to try to find out how have their lives changed over the last year. So I spent a lot of time with one woman, Lila Sitar. She's been wearing the niqab for 14 years. And so she talked to me about how the law has changed her life in the last year.
Depuis la mise en application de la loi, la vie des femmes est extrêmement difficile.
Since the law passed, women's lives have become very difficult. They cannot go into public spaces. They do not have access to hospitals and doctors. They cannot go shopping and buy food in public spaces. They cannot bring their children to school. And there is the risk of being arrested all the time. No museums, libraries, zoo. They cannot go in the public space.
So to go uncovered, then there's another ban, and that's the ban that comes from Muslim practice, that if you're not allowed to wear the burqa and so must go uncovered, but you want to retain your observant behavior, you can't go to these places.
That's exactly right. And, you know, the Quran, Islam, there's nothing specifically that says you have to wear a burqa, you have to cover your face. But for people who are really religious and have this staunch religious belief, that's how they interpret these modesty clauses in the Quran, right? The Quran does say that for women that they should look and dress modestly. And so that's how a lot of these women interpret it. And for them, there is no middle ground here. It's either they're going out in the full niqab or they're not going out at all. Mm. And so for women like Lila, she says she feels like a prisoner in her home, basically. She runs an organization called Amazonas de la Liberté. It's a support group. It's an advocacy group for women who continue to wear the niqab, about 350 members. And she says the stories are the same across the board. And it's not that people are completely stopping their lives. They still have children. They still need to buy groceries. But they're much more fearful when they go outside.
Did you find people who expressed a certain amount of suspicion or intolerance or a sense that the burqa has no business in France?
Yes, and I think that a lot of the supporters, that's how they feel. They feel like the burqa is not representative of what it means to be French, that in France, there should be no distinction between those genders, that men and women, they work together, they live together, they rule France together, and that to physically cover a woman's face, the argument they say is that it violates human dignity. And Jacques Maillard, he's the politician who actually wrote the ban. I got to spend some time with him. He's a conservative politician in Nicolas Sarkozy's UMP party. And he told me this is how he came up with the idea for the burqa ban.
I was deeply shocked when once in a French zoo, I saw a man and behind him something dark. You could not really identify as a person, but it was a person because this person was walking. How could it be that a woman be, let's say, put in such a minorist statute so that you can even not see her face?
Well, of course, how long has he been living on the planet? I mean, he may have trouble doing that in his own life, but do people feel oppressed? At least the ones that you found in France for wearing the burqa, is oppression the experience and the that they're having?
It's hard to say. I'm sure there are women who are being forced to wear the burqa. That is tradition in some parts of the world. But Lila says that she doesn't know a single case of a woman who says that she's being forced to wear it. Lila even told me the story about how when she got married, how the decision came to be that she would continue to wear the niqab in her marriage.
When I married, I said in my husband, if you want to marry me, accept me with this dress.
All right, so what is the state of a discussion of women's rights in France as a result of this ban? Because it sounds like people are very much constrained by their religion, even as they want to, you know, maintain their own values and not simply become secular French people.
I think the outcome has been, and I asked some people who supported the ban, I asked them, how do you respond to women saying, I am too scared to leave my house now? And the problem is that there isn't an acknowledgement that this is really happening. Politicians who supported this ban, legislators, they don't believe that there are a lot of women in these positions. They say that there are very few women left who actually still wear the niqab, that this applies to a very small minority, and that if you want to be French, you have to comply with French laws. Point blank.
I see. So is feminism in France from the perspective of these individuals equivalent to a kind of Islamophobia?
Well, I think that's the fear. And so I spoke with one man, Marwan Mohamed. He works for the Committee Against Islamophobia in France. And his big concern is that this will not only lead to a rise in Islamophobia, but also Muslim women, particularly the women who wear the niqab, they're going to become more and more ostracized from society.
The way they feel is that they have banned us. We're going to ban ourselves within our homes. I don't want to go out. This society that I'm being excluded of, I don't want to take any part in it.
I see. The aim of this law and of this entire debate in France is to create a society that actually allows for all people to practice and that is tolerant on all levels. Is that more or less a sense with Lila and the people that you spoke with?
Well, listen to what Lila said to that.
Avant, on sortait librement, on se sentait pas emprisonné.
Since the law passed, many women feel that they are imprisoned. This law reminds me of the segregation in the USA. We have become like Rosa Parks, who could not take the bus because of the color of her skin.
So a step back. A law that was intended to move forward on women's rights is a step back, Delilah.
She definitely feels so, and she thinks that, and she tells me stories about how women will be on buses, people will forcibly come up to them and try to remove the face veil, people will be pushed, they'll be shoved around, they'll be cursed at. A lot of women have been told, you don't belong here, you're not French, go back to where you came from. So a lot of anti-Muslim sentiments have grown out of this. So I think for Lila, she would definitely agree, it's been a step back.
Is this a transitional stage right here? This law doesn't necessarily plan on going anywhere.
Doesn't look like it's going anywhere. Doesn't look like it's going to really be challenged. I don't see any change happening in the near future here.
Is there a more sophisticated conversation on issues of assimilation and observance and women's rights in France as a result of this ban?
I mean, I think the conversation is twofold. For people who support legislation like the ban, I think the conversation has evolved into, this is another way to show what it means to be French, what it looks like to be French, and we're moving in that direction, which they think is really the right direction for the country. And I think for Muslims who are concerned about the ban, it's another reminder that the culture and the environment is getting much more tense and that they're going to have to be more proactive and more vocal about saying, these are religious beliefs that are very important to us, and we're going to fight for them. We're going to stand up for them. We are French citizens. We are Muslims. And we can be both things in this society.
And articulating that is really the challenge going forward for these communities that you visited.
I think that's it. Yep.
Thank you, Orva.
Thank you, John.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.